Thank you, Janet, for that welcome and introduction. Good morning, everyone. How utterly delightful to be here with you this morning, to see all your smiling faces. God has entrusted to each and every one of us a life, and you have chosen this morning to be here, to bring that life into this place. Now you're thinking you could have done a better job with it, but you brought yourselves here, and that is such a joy. To be here together and to share all your gifts and talents and everything that we can offer to God. However you've come into this place this morning, whether you are full of excitement and anticipation to worship the God who adores you, or whether you've come with cares and fears, heavy responsibilities and loads, know that in this place you are loved. Here in this place we celebrate the fact that the God who made all things loves each and every one of us more than we could ever possibly understand. So be at peace. Be aware of God's great strength and be aware of the love and the intimacy of this fellowship. There is, I know, as has been mentioned, tea and coffee afterwards. I don't think we've got nibbles today, but you know, somebody may have bought them. You never know. We are going to stand and sing our worship of God. In our first song that's shown, the words are on the screen. It's 10,000 Reasons. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Worship his holy name. Thank you for your singing. You make a good noise. So let's pray. Pray with me. God of awesome power and might, We come into this place bathed in the light of your love. You are beautiful, you are strength, you are peace, you are hope, and you are love. God of all things, we thank you so much for all the ways in which you have revealed that love to us. Not just in the infant Jesus that we celebrate at Christmas, but in our warmed hearts, in the kindness and love we see in one another, and in the beauty of this world in which we live. Lord God, you are the source of all our joy. You are our firm foundation. For you found us, and you made it possible for us to open the door and let you into our lives. You are always, always, always with us. Your strong arms surround and support us. And we're sorry for the times when we push you to one side, and for the times when we feel that we have this sorted, that we alone are strong enough to cope with all that life throws at us. When your infinite love, your strength, and your peace are there waiting for us every moment of the day. This is why we come to worship, to celebrate that deep and wonderful truth that your love will never ever let us go, and that through our knowledge of your love revealed in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, our Lord, Saviour, and King, we may know life in all its fullness. Lord God, we are totally and utterly yours. You made us, you own us, and this life that you have entrusted to us, and all the gifts and talents that each one of us possesses, can be a source of such good, a source of such light and warmth, a source of encouragement, and a source of kindness. Lord God, we come to worship to praise your holy name, but also to be inspired for the ministry that each and every one of us has. Our fervent prayer, Lord, through our singing, through our times of quiet, through our reflection on your word, that we leave this place knowing that we have met with you, that our hearts are warmed by the experience of being in fellowship with one another, and that we go out into your world saying the things you want us to say, and more importantly, doing the things you want us to do. God of all beauty, God of glory, and God of awesome strength, be with us now as we worship you in beauty and in truth. Help all of us to open our hearts and minds again more fully to you and receive the glorious good news that we are loved by the God who made all things. And that love will never, ever let us go. God of glory, we give you all the praise. Help us in the intimacy of our fellowship to enjoy our time together and recognize what a precious time it is. An unrepeatable moment. A source, we pray, of inspiration and of goodness, of love and of joy. For you are the source of everything that is good. Lord, we commit ourselves again to you as you remind us in this precious time of your many gifts and your great grace to each and every one of us. Lord God, we are yours. Take us and this time of worship and use it for your glory, so that all may know that they are loved. All may know that they matter in your kingdom of unifying love. Amen. we sing a song that talks of that very theme, a song about inclusivity and welcome. It's a song that's on the screen, so you don't need me to tell you the numbers, but 409 if you're following it in Singing the Faith. Let us build a house where love can dwell and all can safely live with the chorus. All are welcome. All are welcome. Let's stand.
Thank you.
A marvellous anthem of unity and intent. All are welcome in this place. All are welcome. And not just in this place. In fact, we could redefine that word place to just mean in the world, in God's kingdom, not one defined by boundaries or language or custom, but of a unity of people whose hearts are warmed by God's great love. We have a reading from Matthew's Gospel today. It's Matthew chapter 2. Matthew, as you know, is, or was, a Jew writing to an audience of Jewish people. And so when Matthew tries to communicate the truth that God has been born in a human being and that that person lives amongst people, shows us God's true nature of unconditional love and of joy and of glory, and ultimately dies for our sins and sets us free and saves us, he is grounding all of that in a tradition that makes sense to his audience. So in chapter 1, we hear how he roots Jesus's ancestry back to Abraham. And what we've got in chapter 2 is a set number of unique stories. They're only found in Luke's Gospel. And the story that we have just before the one that Ruth's going to read is about the visitors from the east. So Jesus has been born, and we hear in Matthew's Gospel about these stately figures, these mighty people who come bearing gifts of great value. I was listening to something on the radio just before Christmas, and it was a school teacher in a primary school, and she was saying how in the nativity play, even though people don't know what myrrh is or frankincense, there is an understanding, even amongst the young children, this is something precious. And they come with these great gifts. And you see that what Matthew's doing is he's giving us this idea that people outside of the Jewish faith are recognizing what is happening here. They're coming to worship Jesus and offer him these fantastic gifts. And then we lead into the story that we're going to have about how his own nation and his own people treat that birth. Thank you.
The reading is from Matthew chapter 2, beginning to read at verse 13. After they had left, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph and said, Herod will be looking for the child in order to kill him. So get up, take the child and his mother, and escape to Egypt, and stay there until I tell you to leave. So Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and left during the night for Egypt, where he stayed until Herod died. This was done to make what the Lord had said through the prophet come true. I called my son out of Egypt. When Herod realized that the visitors from the east had tricked him, he was furious. He gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its neighborhood who were 2 years old and younger. This was done in accordance with what we had learnt from the visitors about the time when the star had appeared. In this way, what the prophet Jeremiah had said came true. A sound is heard in Ramah, the sound of bitter weeping and lamentation. Rachel is crying for her children. She will not be comforted, for her children are dead. After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, get up, take the child and his mother, and go back to the land of Israel, because those who tried to kill the child are dead. So Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and went back to Israel. But when Joseph heard that Archelaus had succeeded his father Herod as king of Judea, he was afraid to go there. He was given more instructions in a dream, so he went to the province of Galilee and made his home in a town called Nazareth. And so what the prophets had said came true. He will be called a Nazarene.
Thank you for reading that so beautifully. You get a sense from the way that was read of the horror and the total despair of someone's action. Matthew is giving us, if you like, another way in to look at Jesus and who he was for his audience. For we have parallels here with Moses, don't we? A small baby threatened with death by a despotic ruler, saved and going into Egypt for exile, and then returning triumphant. And you'll have picked up all those references to the Old Testament, because Matthew explicitly says, as it was told. So we've got Micah, we've got Hosea, we've got Jeremiah, all peppered in there so that the intended audience would understand more and more and more, hey, you know, this is building on our tradition, this makes sense. Now, for you and I, that's perhaps less obvious and less important to our story today. But I think, for me, the two big things that leap out from this are, yes, we've got a powerful ruler, somebody who has control over armies and nations, doing barbaric acts. So clearly a parallel with today, and let's not be down on today, a parallel for every age. For whenever somebody has power and status and craves those things, their moral compass is likely to not be that great. And because people can, they sometimes do, irrespective of the cost. So we've got this barbarity going on. But there's something much more powerful, something much more subtle, which I think is truly, truly important about this. And that's actually what happened to Jesus and to Mary and Joseph. Now, Matthew isn't interested in giving us a biography of what happened in the life of the infant Jesus in Egypt, if that information even exists. It's not part of the narrative, it's not part of the story. If I say it's not important, it isn't germane to our plot here, which is to get you and I, and readers of the gospel, to understand that Jesus was God in human form. And what a revelation that is, and what a joy that is, and how fantastic that is, and why we call it good news. But it is those three individuals, dispossessed, going off to a foreign land, and then coming back. And we make light of that. It's like, oh, they went to Egypt. I mean, how do you imagine that panned out? You turn up in a foreign country. Even if you turn up in a different place in your own country, you're a stranger. But if you're somewhere else, then you're really going to fall back on the kindness of strangers, aren't you? Because there's no social state, there's no kind of like safety net here, there's nothing that can help them in their journey. They go out of necessity, they are asylum seekers, they are refugees. And of course, that too has powerful resonances, and I can't help but bring that into the thinking that we have when, at the latter half of this year, that has become such a political hot potato for so many people. And we're not here to talk about the rights or wrongs about that, but I can't escape the reality of what that is. And the reason I can't is because over the last few months, I've taken up a volunteering opportunity with an Oxford-based charity called Asylum Welcome. Now, the clue is in the name. They provide support for people who've come to this country seeking asylum. Now, I'm not clever enough to understand the economic pros and cons of what happens. And again, a bit like Matthew's story, it really doesn't matter. At the end of the day, you are confronted with a person or a family who is in a country where they might not speak the language and where they're being put through a process which me, as a English-speaking, relatively tech-savvy person, find incredibly complicated. Housed, if you don't already know, in our Whitney Oxford Hotel, There's one also near the Kasam Stadium in Oxford, and there's one in Banbury, though the Banbury one we hear is closing, so the people who are there will be coming here. Roughly 200 people. On my last shift, just before Christmas, I sat across the desk from a man from Afghanistan. He was in his mid-30s, looked very fit. Good looking, he was well-toned. And he was sitting there with his 10-year-old son. Now, we are there to offer advice and help. So if people say they need schooling for their child, which they're entitled to have, we'll help them do that. If they need help in some part of the process, filling in forms or contacting the Home Office or preparing for their interview or whatever it is, we'll try and help within the remit of our volunteering naivety. We don't ask people, what brings you here? Because, of course, that could be triggering, that could be traumatic, that could be something they're trying desperately to forget. But this man volunteered his story, and he told us how he had been a policeman in Afghanistan. He was a thoughtful, rounded, kind, intelligent individual. He'd been a policeman. But because he was on the wrong side of the oppressive regime that began to operate in that country, he was thrown in jail. And he'd been in jail for 3 years, while his wife and four children were somewhere else, seeking safety. I don't know anything about Afghanistan, but I don't imagine that being in prison there was much fun. I don't think it was probably as nice as the prisons we have here. I don't know. But he had somehow got out of prison, whether he'd been let go or whether he'd been escaped, I don't know. That's irrelevant to the story. But he had emerged from prison and was given a death sentence by the Taliban. If he remained in the country, they were going to kill him and his son. Again, for reasons I don't pretend to understand. So he fled and came to this country. His wife and three daughters are still in the country, staying with various relatives. So here is a person sitting opposite you with this kind of life experience. I don't know about you, I just find that incredibly humbling. And it reminds me of how blinkered my own existence is and how little I know of the world. But this is just one tiny example. All are welcome, we sang in our song. And it makes me think of Joseph and Mary and Jesus when they go to another country. I imagine and I hope that there were some lovely people there who said, ah, delightful young family, come and share our food or whatever. But I bet there was a whole bunch of people who said, who are you? What do you want? What are you doing here? I don't imagine they got a universally friendly welcome. But it reminds us that each one of us is the recipient of so much good grace and love from other people. The fact that we can walk into this place this morning, we can show our face in the town, and nobody is going to abuse us. No one's going to say anything nasty to us. No one's going to impede our worship here this morning. We're lucky in that sense. But we're not just recipients of that good luck. What the story tells us is the desperate need for you and me to show love and kindness, to be in the world as positive influences, to be non-judgmental, to be helpful, to be kind, to be patient, to be empathetic, to be enthusiastic and inspiring. Not because we're beautiful, lovely people, though all of you are, but because we have God's love in our hearts. If we claim to be Christian people, then we know Jesus, this infant who grew into the man, to be our personal Lord and Savior. And God's love for us is so real, so tangible, so wonderful, that you could not do other than want to share it with other people. And I think the story today reminds us of that urgent need to be positive, to be loving, to be kind, to be in the world and active and doing things that help other people. You could say that's a story that's often told at Christmas, and why people say, oh, it's not just for one day. The story of helping and loving and serving is 24/7, because we have received so much. And this is why we call it good news. So for all of us, there's a desperate need to open the doors of our hearts and minds and allow God in to every dark corner, to permeate all those places that put us on the back foot when we encounter difficulties, that give us reasons to walk on the other side, to not engage with people because of one reason or another, and instead to give us that courage and hope that you and I are potentially sources of great joy to other people. Now, you may scoff at that and say, oh, I can't do anything. But if you are alive and you move around in this world, you encounter people, and how you relate to them really, really matters. Because there is no middle ground. You can either be positive and encouraging, or by definition, if you're not that, then you're being destructive and unhelpful. Again, this is not something that we do in our own strength. To know that we are loved by the God who made all things is the source of all our joy. It is truly good news. And I want to encourage you and inspire you to think about how you are already making a huge difference to this world. Be encouraged by that. Light up your smiles. Open your eyes and ears and look at the world around you and the people that you encounter. See them as brothers and sisters, because God loves them just as much as God loves you. And be there for people. Engage, learn, and grow. And in all things, give God the glory, because it is what God has done which enables us to speak with such joy and such confidence. Praise the Lord, O my soul. All are welcome in this place. Amen. So let's sing a song of great challenge, a song whose words I always find quite hard to sing. 662. Have you heard God's voice? Has your heart been stirred? Are you still prepared to follow? Have you made a choice to remain and serve, though the way be rough and narrow?
Thank you.
Thank you. That was beautiful music. So let's bring those thoughts and those ideas together as we try to offer what is on our hearts and minds to God in prayer. There is a normal and familiar response to these prayers. If when I say, Lord, in your mercy, you could respond with, hear our prayer. Let's pray. God of awesome, inclusive love, God of grace, and God of joy, you model in Jesus what life in all its fullness is really all about. And what we saw in Jesus was unconditional love, a desire to walk alongside the marginalized and the oppressed, to be there for those who were unjustly dealt with. God of beauty and God of truth, we see in you, in the person of Jesus, the light of the world, a joy for all people, the answer to warfare and strife and power struggles and dictatorships and acts of terrible atrocities. For at the root of all these things is our own human heart. Forgive us, Lord, that we often feel that we are indeed in control of all that happens, that we are the arbiters of what is right and true and decent and good, when sometimes all that means that it matches our own expectations. It fits in with our own view of life. Lord God, you are the God of love, and love challenges all these things. Love is stronger than anything else. It persists and it shines. It is remembered and it is celebrated. So, Lord, as we prepare to offer you the concerns that are on our hearts and minds, each one of us here, we pray, will open our eyes and see your glorious face. We'll have our own faces wreathed in smiles at the joy and the light and the warmth and the glory that you show us. Lord, help us to relax in your great strength, to know that your strong arms surround us, to know that we are not alone, to know that we exist not only in your precious love, but bound together here in this fellowship of unique and special individuals who walk life's journey with us. So, Lord, help us to come to you with childlike love and respond with the same. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Great God of love, in the silence we open our hearts and minds to you, knowing that we do so in communion with one another, here in this place of safety and this place of praise, here in this place of love and joy and kindness. Lord, in the silence, we bring to you the concerns of our hearts and minds. We share them with you so that we share with you in your ministry of love to all people. God of power, God of strength, help us to know how we may be to those we have thought of your hands and your voice. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord God, we are your children. You made each and every one of us. You know us inside out better than we know ourselves. And throughout all of that, the impossible truth is that you love us completely. We are yours, totally and utterly, and we can always, always depend upon your love and your strength. We know that not even this life is a definition of that relationship. For if we have glimpsed the glory of God, we know that it is forever. So, Lord, help us to be people fundamentally of peace, people fundamentally of joy. Forgive us our off days and the days when we let you down, but ground us firm and deep in your great love. Give us hope and joy and an exuberant excitement for life, an extravagant love which reflects how much we have received of your grace. And Lord, help us to be useful. Help us to be kind. Help us to be empathetic and patient. Fundamentally, help us to love as we have been loved. And through our poor reflection of your perfect love, may more brothers and sisters in this world feel your love, joy, peace, and strength. Lord God, this is why we are here. And we are so, so lucky if we have glimpsed that in our lives and if we feel that some of the things we do can be contributory to the kingdom of heaven here on earth. Lord God, give us that childlike excitement for all that lies ahead and give us the strength to speak out against injustice and intolerance, to be people who instead who seek for peace and an end for division, an absolute fundamental awareness of the equality and worthiness of all people everywhere. For this is the kingdom of heaven on earth. Lord God, take each one of our hearts and minds and use us for your great glory. We ask it in the name of Jesus, who is for us our Lord, our Saviour, and our King. Amen. And we say together the words of the new form of the Lord's Prayer that are on the screen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. And let's just dedicate the offering that is made in this place. So many people will offer so much of the things that God has entrusted into their care, some of it money and some of it their time and action. Lord, we are each and every one of us a living sacrifice. Use us as we try to dedicate back to the world the gifts and talents you have entrusted into our care. Remind us that each and every one of us can make an important difference to this world by the way we live, the things we say, and more importantly, the things we do. Lord God, you are the source of all our joy. Remind us that you came to us first, that your extravagance knows no limit, and that we are blessed in our relationship with you and with one another. So, Lord, send us out from this place singing your praises, for you are the God we adore. Amen. Well, thank you so much for coming. I said coming out, that sounds silly, doesn't it? But for being here and creating this time of joy and love and intimacy. God, your God and my God, loves you all so much. Know that in your hearts and be at peace. Be people of confidence and hope and strength, for God is good. And we're going to sing that now in our final song. We have to have a carol. So it's 202, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Glory indeed to the newborn King. To the musicians. Thank you, guys. Brothers and sisters, be filled with love, the love that God puts into your hearts. Go from this place and shine with glory and excitement and love. And be the disciple God made you to be. Amen.